All right, thank you, Farnaz. So as we traditionally do, we start off our meetings reciting our mission and our values, and I've asked Jeremiah to do that today. So Jeremiah, if you can kick us off, that would be fantastic.
Certainly. Our mission is to reimagine public education in low-income communities of color to prepare conscious, critical thinkers who are equipped to graduate from college and create a more equitable and sustainable world. And our values are justice. We examine bias, racism, and prejudice. We deliver culturally responsive curricula. We succeed when students' race and class cease to predict their level of achievement. Community, we care, we collaborate, we respect the rights and voices of our stakeholders. Curiosity, we question, we explore, we innovate. Sustainability, we think globally and act locally. We adapt, we encourage systems thinking to create a sustainable future. And leadership, we listen, we think critically, we advocate, we shift public discourse, we are our own superheroes.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jeremiah. Welcome everyone to the board members, to our guest board member, Travis, to our staff, and to all those who are joining us. Great to see everyone and glad you're here. I know I see the recording on, so yes. Jeremiah, we are you're recording attendance and the guests, so
that's right.
We appreciate that. So I will call the meeting to order, and I will ask for a motion to approve the agenda.
I motion to approve the agenda.
Zena, second.
Thank you. I'll just go through Ken.
Aye.
Madhu.
Aye.
Zena.
Aye.
Travis.
Sorry, aye.
Thank you. Denise.
Aye. Aye.
Anthony, aye. Did any other board member join? I don't see them on the screen. I just want to make sure I'm capturing everyone. Okay. Agenda has been approved. So we'll move forward. Oop, what happened to the screen share?
I stopped it so that I could go to the opener. 1 second.
Oh, I think there's a few more items just before that.
I don't believe so.
Oh, just any agenda and non-agenda items? I think we need to just review that pretty quickly. If you don't mind. I have the agenda up as well, so I can just move it forward.
We had shifted the order around to do the opener first.
But you're right. I'm so sorry. That's my bad.
No problem. Okie dokes.
I'll mute myself.
No, please. So the opener is really linked to the presentation that we're going to be having today from Cesar Delgado or Cesar Delgado, depending on what mood he's in. And it's about envisioning what we would do if we could wrap our arms around our students to deliver and support their needs in every way possible. We've hired 4 social workers across ECS this year. And I want you to take 1 minute to think about what you would dream about doing differently for our students with the introduction of these roles. And then we're going to do 4 minutes of pair share and then come back and share our visions as leaders of this organization before we hear about Caesar's vision. And so sort of want you guys to pre-create ideas of what you would think about before hearing his. Any questions about what the idea is here? Excellent. So just take a minute to think, and then I'm going to put you in groups with people who you might not have gotten to work with before, hopefully. And then you'll have 4 minutes and then we'll do some group share. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to open the groups. Well, thank you guys so much. I would love to hear if some of the groups would be willing to share some of the things they dream about us doing differently with the introduction of social workers. Somebody could just jump in first.
I was hoping Denise would speak up. You said some awesome things.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, I think we were all in agreement that, well, what the visual that came to mind when you first asked us this was Dr. Watson's insights on telomeres and how those are broken down through trauma and generational trauma, but can be rebuilt and recovered. And reestablished. So, I guess the idea of what these kids need is going around, like, how do we build back the telomeres? How do we give them resilience and resistance to what they have experienced or what their families have experienced? Social, emotional learning is key, having the tools to feel your power, which I think Charity had mentioned, but then also knowing that it's not a one size fits all situation. How can these social workers construct a space that is both group oriented in developing support mechanisms for that resilience, but also individuated?
Thank you, Denise, for sharing. I would love to have one or two other people share if you can. That's beautiful, Denise. Thank you.
Well, I'll share. We talked about in our group something that I experienced at another school where I met a counselor who made it a point to meet with his students like two or three times a semester and only like for 5 minutes just to introduce themselves, talk about like how their sport is going or how school, how's family life. So every time they would come in, they were building a relationship. So when they were failing in school, or there was a some sort of incident that was happening at home, they had already built a relationship and felt comfortable speaking with the counselor. So I thought maybe we might want to implement some sort of way to make it more comfortable for students to relate to the counselors.
Thank you, Zena.
I was just going to say that I learned that all the things that I thought about were already happening in terms of, it sounds like the social worker has already introduced himself to the students and is actually creating those relationships so that when and if there is a trauma or an issue, that the students feel that they are comfortable speaking with someone. And I guess he's available to meet individually, but also does presentations to the classroom, the different classrooms, as well as introducing himself, just walking around the campus. So I think that's amazing. And especially for the student to know that there's someone that's not part of their family, but there is an advocate who's unrelated to them, not gonna judge them. And should there be an issue within the family, this counselor or the social worker would also be able to work with the entire family, which I think is amazing and incredibly thoughtful.
Thank you, Madhu, for sharing. So as we go into Caesar's presentation, I just want you guys to keep in mind some of the things you dreamed about and thought about and talked about in your small groups, and really ask some probing questions and help us to remember the role of board member to try to get us better and to push us in that direction. So think about those probing questions. And so now we can go back to the agenda. I'm going to share screen again, and we can do the presentations from the floor. Thank you, guys. Anthony?
Yes, sorry. I just wanted to make sure I was off mute. So are there any presentations from the floor on non-agenda items? Okay, are there any presentations from the floor on agenda items? Okay, then we can move forward with the ECS leadership updates.
So our presentation is really focused on the operational elements of leadership at this moment at ECS. And then we have two of our principals who are going to be speaking, both the middle school principals. Last time we heard from the two high school principals. So our two middle school principals will be talking about our advisory work and some of the things that are happening at their school site. So with that, I want to jump into the health and safety update from Jen Fenton.
Hi, everyone. I'm excited to be here. I met a lot of you at the last meeting. I have to be honest, health and safety is our number one priority. We are thinking about it morning, noon, and night, on Saturdays, on Sundays. Not a day goes by where we are not considering what's in the best interest of our students and our staff and keeping the entire ECS community safe. That includes testing. And I think you can see from this dashboard that we are doing a lot of it. Approximately 35 students at our middle school are randomly tested every day, and approximately 50 to 55 students at our high school are randomly tested every single day. That's in addition to weekly testing that is required amongst all of our staff. And we are doing a lot of testing, which will yield a couple of positives. What we've seen, though, has remarkably slowed down from the beginning of the year, when cases in LA County were really just, you know, they were still really high. The number of cases are coming down. You see that we have had one positive case and one presumptive positive case, which converted to a negative. This, I think, presumptive positive is our 11th or 12th that has turned negative. So we are continuing to see that our presumptive positives are turning negative, which is leading us to believe that our laboratory is really good. It is really conservative, and it's making us retest students just to ensure that everybody continues to stay safe and we're not having outbreaks in class. And I will tell you, all the families have been wonderful, as have the students. We talked about the number of testing that we've done. Approximately 95% of our students are registered in color through, color is the dashboard, and it's, we use a laboratory called Valencia. And 95% of our students are letting us test them on campus. I do want to highlight our vaccination clinics. In September and October, we hosted 6 clinics. And I think these are really incredible numbers. And it just shows the success of bringing the vaccine to the community and doing it at a place where our families trust. So over 20 students received both doses of their Pfizer vaccination, which means we were able to capture that information and we can check the box that they are double vaccinated. We had over 50 community members. This could have been mom, dad, aunt, sister. It could have been, you know, a friend who found out about our clinic and registered, and they received 2 doses of the Pfizer vaccination. 50 community members, a lot of them were teachers. In fact, most of them received a Pfizer booster, and 9 individuals received their first dose at one of these 6 clinics, at which point we scheduled a second dose appointment before they left at CVS, Walgreens, or Costco. So we're not letting anybody leave without ensuring that 2 doses are happening so they can be considered fully vaccinated. We are currently working with LA County to schedule a Moderna clinic. The 6 that we've previously done are Pfizer. And we've also contacted them to get in the queue. So as soon as the vaccinations for our 5 to 11 year olds are available and they start distributing them, ECS can host a clinic. And we'd like to do a clinic on both middle school campuses, because again, I think it helps families feel comfortable and it helps them trust the process.
I just want to add to Jen's presentation that we've been having health and safety scrums 3 times a week, once with the entirety of cabinet and twice with Jeremiah, Jen, Danielle, and I, where we go over all these safety issues and policies and bring them to light, go to LADPH meetings and determine how to move forward with things. And Caesar, though he's just started as the social work leader, has also had a huge effort to get our families to register and also to sign up for vaccine clinics and to submit their vaccine form. So there's a lot of integration, and that's what you're going to hear about in all these presentations. So Robert is not here with us, but Robert is working really hard to create our new strategic priorities benchmark chart, which we will be doing a study session on next week. He's created this really phenomenal health and safety tracker in partnership with Jeremiah and Jen and all of us to track quarantining, testing, independent study, and vaccination. It was very much based on the initial format that Geneva had created in Inglewood, but it took it a few steps further by bringing information directly from other systems. He's been doing Tableau onboarding. Some of you may remember that we were able to get all of our core teachers Tableau sign-on so that they can see data on their students' progress in core subjects. He's been reporting to funders. And yesterday, our home office survey went out to all staff so that we can get feedback on how home office is doing, and he led that process. He's also led the advisory surveys that you'll hear more feedback on how our students are perceiving our advisory program. And he's working actively to create our LCAP templates. And Julie is going to talk about development.
All right. Hi, everyone. So great to see all of you. I have some really quick development updates for you. You'll see later on in this meeting, you're going to be voting on a few consent agenda items related to a board resolution. So essentially, your approval and permission for us to have submitted these grants. So I just wanted to share a little bit about these 2 that we are working on or have submitted. So California State Parks launched a new RFP. It's the Outdoor Equity Grant, which essentially to fund exactly what our schools do. So it's so I just wanted to give a shout out to Beth, who worked really hard with me on getting this in about a few weeks ago. And essentially, this grant would support and fund $700,000 per site to support our outdoor education trips, as well as outdoor activities related to green ambassadors and community engagement. So some of the new ideas that we're proposing is organizing family hikes, community engagement hikes, and, you know, really take our outdoor education to the next level with our families. One grant that we're currently working on that's due next week is the Whale Tail Grant from California Coastal Commission. And this is to support an MOU that's already in motion with the Gardena Willows Wetland Preserve in the city of Gardena with ECMS Gardena. So that's 50K over 2 years. Another piece that on the home office development front is supporting our student recruitment efforts for next school year. And so, you know, every school site is already hard at work enlisting their own strategies. But what we're trying to do as a home office is to support their work and sort of bring everyone together to share best practices, support especially our newest high school, and sort of, you know, support one another across the organization. One thing that I wanted to mention also, and Farnaz, please feel free to chime in, is that I think our schools compared to other peer schools are at full enrollment or close to full enrollment, which I think is a pretty distinct difference compared to our peer schools.
Yeah, frequently many of our charter school partners at the LACO meetings have been reporting 10 to 20% drops in enrollment this past year. And we're really happy to report that we had full enrollment at the start of the year. We dipped slightly, but intentionally, when a few of our students left, we didn't fill every spot back in with students on the wait list because of the space challenges that we were having. But we're almost at completely full enrollment and high attendance at all of our sites. And it's worthy of a lot of appreciation for our principals and our leadership teams. So I wanted to update you on the Growth and Sustainability Committee and the work that we're doing there. Some of you may have remembered that we started a committee. We asked you guys to bring a lot of your friends to hear presentations that Julie, Allison, and I did every couple of weeks for a while. We recruited an amazing group of leaders. And then as everything with the pandemic and life continued to turn, we really had a reassessment of, you know, what are our priorities? If we want to raise $5 million right now for this new campus, this is going to take about 20% of my capacity. And do I really have the space to focus on fund development to that extent? We got really lucky with a relationship with Equitable Facilities Fund that is giving us a much lower loan rate, not only for the new facility that we're purchasing, but for all of our existing loans, and will save us upward of $20 million over the term of this loan, which is phenomenal. And it also gives us time, and it gives us the ability to slow down on our fundraising goal for this Growth and Sustainability Committee, and to also really focus on what our primary priorities are at this time. That doesn't mean that we're not continuing to fundraise. I had an amazing meeting with Connecta this last week, and they're strongly considering us for a naming opportunity in a big multi-year grant. And we're going to continue to work on that. I went to the Charter School Growth Fund convening and spoke to several funders there. But we are really grateful. It was like a deep exhale that we can slow this down a little bit to focus on everything that's at hand at this moment. But I have Allison here to share with you some of the most amazing slides of this presentation. So Allison.
Could I just ask you a question? I'm not sure I understand that. You're refinancing, or you're financing all of your loans at a much lower rate. Are we getting additional amounts lent to us?
Yes. We're probably going to get, I think it was $5 to $7 million lent to us for the changes that we want to make to the building. And it would still, and it's still sustainable within our projected financing plan.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 5 to 7 million above what we were. In other words, that's 5 to 7 million that we don't have to fundraise. Is that what you're saying?
Or we could take longer to fundraise and pay back over time.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Great. Yeah,
it's phenomenal. Allison, are you here?
I am.
Awesome.
So we've been working hard to reimagine the possibilities with the new site that we have at the Gardena campus. It's very exciting, working with the Gensler team to develop the ideas for the site and think about the space and how to best use the space. And so this is the new vision for what the space can look like. And there's detailed plans on all of this. And if you are interested in digging down, we can talk to you about that. But in addition to the visual look of the campus, the other exciting bit of news is that when Gensler dug into the building, they were also able to look at long-term space planning ideas and figured out ways for us to reformat some of the classrooms so that they're not the smaller, dingier, darker classrooms that when we first entered the building, it looked like, but now they're state-of-the-art classrooms that are gonna have almost 1,700 feet in our science labs, so that we'll have science teachers that really wanna work there at our schools and they'll be able to do science, which is very exciting to have a chemistry lab, a true chemistry lab with an eyewash station and everything. So we're super stoked that they were able to put all that together.
Allison, can I pause you for a second?
Yep.
So what that means is that some of these classrooms that we're now seeing that are so big and spacious, they used to be these really long and narrow classrooms that were really dark and cavernous almost. And by breaking down the walls in between, we're creating much bigger spaces with a lot more light. And it's very exciting. For those of us who had seen the site in its earlier iteration, it was kind of hard to imagine how to turn it into an ECS school. So this is exciting.
And the other bit too, if you go back to that other picture, just go back one more time, is that the classrooms now have doors that open up wide to the outside area and into a little courtyard with a little amphitheater right here. So that also opens it up and brings in a lot of light to the space, which is also very exciting. Okay, you can flip now. And so here's the space reimagined, like this area over here. Farnaz, if you want to point at the basketball area, now becomes this area up in the top left-hand corner. And the area in the areas that are underneath the roof of this new building becomes almost like on the right-hand side, an alleyway of like, you know, doors that open up to the outside and seating area and nooks for learning to happen, as well as large, bright classrooms with a lot of light, which is also very exciting. And in addition, the area of the triplex, which also has a basement feel to it, would be sloped down in the back, similar to this picture up in the top right-hand corner, so that we dig that area out and we allow for that area to be opened up and brightened up as well. So the design is very exciting and we hope to be able to make it happen.
Thank you so much. So the human resources team has been extremely busy and Sarah Jamieson is here to share some of the work that they've been doing.
Hi, everyone. Wonderful. Would love to share a little bit about what Emily, Sajida, Erica, and I have been up to. We have hired since June of 2021, 72 individuals here. You can see the breakdown, that being 30 teachers, 39 classified staff, 3 leaders. You can also see 85% of the new staff are people of color, so meeting that strategic priorities benchmark chart goal that we have set out for ourselves. We've also implemented a ton of health and safety policies. A lot of this work is done in partnership with Jen and Jeremiah and Farnaz, but a ton of health and safety policies in the time of COVID. We've been able to expand supports to staff. So we have the flexible spending accounts now that help them get some tax-free money for childcare, particularly in the time of COVID, and ECS contributes some money to that pot and some expanded counseling opportunities for them. We have successfully completed implementation of a new benefits plan again. Always a little touch and go because it's the start of a school year. So it's always a little extra chaotic, but we did it and managed to keep all of our employees' rates flat this year, which was really important to them. Benefits continue to be a high discussion area for us as an organization with our individuals. We led and supported student and staff testing and safety efforts, again, in a ton of support from Farnaz and Jen and Jeremiah in this, but in the early days before Jen joined us.
I'm going to pause you on that one for a
second.
So truthfully, before Jen joined us, Sarah was really doing this for both students and staff at all sites, as an individual, just going whenever, wherever was needed to lead this effort. And I just really want to appreciate the role that she played in this work. Also, the next one, she's going to be more humble than I'm going to be on what she's done. You've seen the credentialing issues on our strategic priorities benchmark chart. And she has really honed in on our credentialing problems in a way that I am in awe of. We had so many issues of non-compliance in prior years. And last year she got it down to zero. And in this past month, she's dealt with 16 credentialing issues that have come up. All of this takes so much time and effort. And I just really want to appreciate the hard work that she's putting into this.
Thank you.
Yeah, very well done. I just want to say, someone who recruits and selects interviews and everything that you do, but to bring in 72 individuals since June in this market is incredible. So, I just want to give you a shout out because I know what it takes to bring those kind of numbers into an organization in this, at this moment in the marketplace. So well done.
Thank you. There is a large team of people doing that, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt. You and your team, I am just calling that out because that's an amazing piece right there.
Thank you, Anthony. We've also been able to support our staff in vaccinations, both in procuring them earlier. Jeremiah, Emily, Farnaz, and I called ourselves the Vax Command Squad for a while there because it was a daily scrum and calls to figure out how we could piece together vaccines for everybody in early days. And now we're tracking that to help support and inform the numbers that you all see on our COVID safety data. And then we've had 8 HR escalations, which Farnaz really, really leans into me and helps build my capacity in those areas and coaches me through all of that. It's been a busy year here, but we're having a lot of fun and incredibly proud of the team that I get to do this work with because we've all grown and learned a ton in the last few months. So thank you all.
Thank you, Sarah. So Jeremiah, are you sure you want me to do it? Jeremiah is also too humble to talk about himself. So do you want to, or do you want me to?
Either way, Okay.
Yeah.
Just to update everyone on operations and compliance. I've been supporting and regularly meeting with the office managers at each site, kind of taking a heightened role to support the offices, especially in this pandemic period when the needs are high. Still managing and supporting the IT team.
Wait, so you just jumped over one. So there have been office managers who've been out for extended periods of time, either related to quarantine or needing to step away for life. And he has personally stepped in there while doing his own job to serve as an office manager more than once this year for extended periods of time. So I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you. For the LCAP and compliance audit reporting, we're currently facilitating 3 external audits. It seems there are more audits than ever this year and conducting 1 internal audit. So just a lot of extra work on the back office here. Just continuing my other roles there, with vendor management and risk management, the food service program. And then of course, being part of the COVID-19 compliance team, participating in the bi-weekly or semi-weekly scrums and doing all the dashboard reporting. So just that's an update on what I've been doing so far this semester, and we'll see how it goes next semester.
And then everything he does for this board and all the agenda sending and changing and communicating with the board, I just cannot underrepresent the incredible impact that he's having operationally and on our sustainability. Thank you, Jeremiah.
Thank you. I also do want to just take a minute to commend the work of the office teams at each school. I mean, they're taking on more than ever before, while still, you know, fielding all the students that come every day, making sure attendance is taken properly. It's just a lot of extra work right now, and very little reprieve. So I, you know, try to support them as much as possible, and they're doing a great job.
And that's a perfect segue to something that I will be coming back to you guys for. A lot of organizations are considering significant bonuses for all employees, given the fact that everyone is holding so much more than they signed up for at this time. So we will be coming back to you with some recommendations for additional bonuses for staff in the coming month. So with that, I'm going to ask Tracy to share what's been happening on finance and compliance. And this is all work that's done in partnership with Jeremiah and Dorothy.
Hello. Yeah, so there's our regular budgeting around LCAP and the reporting related to that and all of our title funding and some of our other things that we've always had, but there is, you know, all of this extra money right now, which is wonderful, but there's a lot of different rules for every single pod and applications we have to do and plans and reports at various times. So there's a lot more reporting for us at this point. There's also, you know, my team does the payroll and the purchasing. So along with all this funding and all of this hiring is the payroll for all those people and the buying of the things, all of the COVID tests and all of the computers and all of these things that we're spending the money on. It's been a lot of extra work for Jair and Sadie, and we now have an additional assistant, which is so wonderful, Cynthia, who we're happy to have here. But yeah, so basically we do a lot of reporting. And spending money, which is lovely. And we're working on making sure that with this extraordinary funding, we plan very well so that when the funding ends, we're still in a good spot. So Farnaz has been working with me a lot on what we're going to do to ensure that five-year budget plan is sustainable.
Thank you, Tracy. You make it all seem so easy, but it is so incredibly complex, and it's the pain point of most charter leaders, but I feel so blessed to have your leadership in this realm. So thank you.
Thank you.
So simultaneously, I'm going to share this presentation with you guys so that you can click on some of these links, but Allison and I have been working on additional advocacy efforts. This last week, Allison and I presented to the Los Angeles County Office of Education Board. We did a presentation about how the recent efforts to sort of assess whether charter schools need to, how to determine when charter schools need to reapply for renewal should be determined. And we advocated for them to consider additional factors such as student race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, and life challenges in considering, not just base it on test scores and test score growth. Allison is on the LACLL committee, which works with charter schools in Los Angeles County. I serve on the California Member Council for CCSA. And I also just wanted to appreciate everyone for the opportunity to attend the Charter School Growth Fund convening in early October. It was a really amazing opportunity to meet with other charter school leaders from all over the country and to share what we're doing in this moment and to learn from each other. So it was a wonderful experience. So with that, we're going to be hearing from our amazing middle school principals about what they're doing on our priorities for the year. As Danielle and I have been thinking about it in this time, it's clear that these priorities are, you know, there should have been another priority here, which is safety on this slide, like that it's really been at the center of so much of everything that we do. but that these are longer term priorities than we've set in prior years. And this is probably going to be a 2-year venture, which is, I think, a little exciting for us to think about it that way, because each year setting the priorities, setting the benchmark charts, thinking about the procedures and policies and practices has taken a lot of capacity. And so it'll let us hone in and settle in a little bit more to these priorities, since they are longer term priorities for this year and hopefully next year. With that, we're going to hear from Dave and Dr. Geneva Matthews. And then after that, we're going to be hearing from Caesar about the social work team. And I'm going to stop sharing. Thank you. Dave or Geneva, want to jump in?
Yes, here I am. Hi, everyone. Good afternoon or good evening. My apologies, you know, having 2 under 3 over here, and me and Dad have board meetings this evening, so we're juggling. So let me share my screen so I can talk about all the amazing things that Inglewood is doing and what we are so proud of. If you just bear with me for 30 seconds.
As she gets her screen ready, I just want to appreciate Geneva for all the hard work that she's done. Her school site has frequently been a model for what we learn from and share across in resources. So I just am extremely grateful for so many of the things, like our trackers and our systems, have come from her thought partnership. So thank you, Geneva.
Thank you. So here's just a small update of what's happening in Inglewood. So we want to keep our priorities very centered, and I'm not going to go over everything, but this is something that we shared in one of our PDs, is that number one, safety is just at the top and the forefront of everything that we're doing. And so the main thing that I would like to highlight that Jen talked about is that we're just really proud that there has been zero transmission on campus, and that we continue to just exercise all of those practices with teachers, with staff, are sharing this at home, because we are only as safe as how students and adults are acting on the weekends. So we continue to remind our parents of that. So we're also actively working to bring all our long-term independent study students back. As of right now, they're all on their way back. They're either attending school 2 to 3 days a week to get more and more comfortable as we bring them back full time. And another major thing that we're working on is lowering our disciplinary incidences. Right now, because students are not completely used to interacting with one another and dealing with conflict, a little bit more of our disciplinary incidences have gone up, and we're hearing that across all campuses and throughout the different districts. And so we're just trying to be very creative on how we're supporting our students. Every child is a blessing. I know it's going to be brought up later on, but we conducted an advisory survey that we're really, really proud of the results. Students are feeling comfortable on campus, feeling that there's at least one adult that cares about them and notices when they're not present. And so because of that, we're going to create a school-wide singular focus based on the data of how we are going to continue to improve our advisory classes. And then lastly, for our instructional practices, we have hired a lot of amazing new people this year. And with that, they have brought a lot of creativity from their previous school sites. And so we have now started an Instruction Junction newsletter that shares best practices and resources for our teachers. So we are really proud of the work that we're doing. We want to also just highlight briefly, what is our student climate and culture doing? Because that we think that helps combat in a more proactive way some of the disciplinary incidences that we're having. So this week we have Spirit Week. Today was Decade Throwback Thursday. It was really interesting to see what students have deemed now throwback or back in the day. To hear like 2000s and the 90s, it kind of made me clench my heart a little bit. We are also celebrating our Latinx Heritage Month. We also had an altar for Dia de los Muertos altar. We are really proud that one of our staff members wanted to acknowledge the individuals that passed away against police violence. So those are some of the people that were honored at the altar. We're having those type of conversations with our students. We also, as you can see, had an attendance challenge in September, and we have 94.7%. We had a kindness challenge that if a staff member sees a student doing a kind act, they get a cool little card, and we do a raffle at the end of the week. And lastly, I just want to highlight even just some of the quotes we've received from our student survey. One student said, each morning while I'm walking in to do the little quiz, which is our safety survey to ask them how any symptoms they may have. I'm always have a good convo with the people in the front there. And so that means that people are always greeting our students with a smile and with respect. Another student says that even though a lot of kids say things that they're not supposed to say, our students and staff handle it very well and they help us. So we are very grateful of a lot of the comments that the students shared in the surveys. And just, it's not all about the climate, it's also about the classroom highlights. I just want to show a couple pictures here. And just also shout out to our instructional leaders such as Jane and Charity, who are continuously supporting our coaches on site, able to go in and do classroom observations and just highlight the brilliance that is happening in the classroom. And one thing I just want to highlight that they're seeing is that students' thinking is visible and the students are the ones doing the heavy lifting in the classroom. And so that's just making us very proud as an instructional team and me as a principal. So I won't take up too much additional time. I just want to say thank you for your time. And we also want to invite you out to our Harvest Festival. So November 6th, which is a Saturday, from 9 to 1 p.m., we're having our Harvest Festival in Inglewood. It's our annual Harvest Festival. And so you can work on different activities and or projects on campus. We're going to follow all safety protocols. But if you have the ability to come out and it's very family friendly, please do so for November 6th from 9 to 1. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Matthews. Mr. Trejo, are you ready to present? And then we'll open up to questions from the board before Cesar presents. So Mr. Trejo, are you ready?
I am. Let me get this going. Thank you. I often like going later in the presentation because in the meeting because it helps me finish the presentations in true procrastination fashion. But then I often regret it after folks are brilliant like Geneva and we have Schoolhouse Rock, Instruction Junction, like it's a great idea that I'm going to steal much in alignment with what Farnaz was already saying about how we've all benefited from the wisdom that Inglewood and Geneva have sometimes pioneered, sometimes voluntarily, and sometimes because life happens. But we're super grateful to work with the principals, all of them. And we're happy to have Cindy on the team too, that provides a different viewpoint and a new viewpoint. But Geneva, I've leaned into Geneva more often this year than I think I have in the past. And I just want to appreciate her. That being said, I'd like to talk about advisory in particular at our school. But prior to that, just one quick note on safety. I promised the kids over when every advisory had over 90% of students registered for COVID testing, ice cream. And they did it a while back, and today we gave them that ice cream, and it was just a nice way to like see kids be kids. And it was a nice win, and we had like a paletero type of thing, and it was just great. And so I just wanted to share that, because it's tied to our students and our families having faith, in our system, and we have had zero school-based transmissions, and I think it's because of the testing. I want to talk primarily about Every Child's a Blessing and how we're approaching that in Gardena in advisory. In particular, it's reimagining and redesigning advisory to intentionally craft spaces conducive to connection to self and one another with the focus on equity. I think the first step in being a teacher that can build relationships with students is building individual relationships with students. But a trap there is potentially being a charismatic teacher that has 30 individual positive relationships, as opposed to a culture where relationships are built amongst each other and as a collective. So that's what we're focused on that community building. One of the comments from the feedback this year was, let me move that so I can see it. I strongly agree that I am loved and cared for by staff and teachers. That was an open response. That one of the students made sure they wanted to know what we've been doing as it pertains to that priority. Summer, we were planning. We had an advisory lead on site. That's Cesar Delgado, who's going to go next. And I can hype him up, but I'll just let him present. And folks, there's two types of people. People that love Cesar Delgado and people that don't exist. Advisory implementation started immediately. And we have more advisory than we've ever had. at Gardena, and it lasts longer than it has in the past. And we paused for reflection and feedback, and we got a lot of feedback from students. Some of the things we got, let me see if I can play this in the background and maybe lower the music a little bit. Got great music, but I'm going to try to multitask and chat at the same time. So you'll see really cool activities, community building. This is one where they have to, the one that you saw previously was one where the students had to throw up a stick and the kids behind them had to catch it while also throwing the stick to the kids behind them. It's kind of like a somewhat safer trust fall. The one that I wanted to highlight here, there's two, she's a great teacher, give her a raise. And that student came directly to me after they submitted that to ensure that I saw that comment. This comment over here, I would like to just thank Ms. McMillan because you are always finding ways to make the class fun, but for us to work at the same time. So they're seeing that connection. And circle groups where students can communicate and figure problems out with the teacher is something that kids are appreciating. This was a really good like jolt of positivity for teachers in October. If you haven't seen teacher attitudes in studies, there's a progression over the school year, and October tends to be a slump in general in non-pandemic years. This year in particular, it's really hard. We went from holistic data and like macro data to like granular data. This is feedback from one particular teacher here who I wish I'd play another clip of him leading them through song, and they're doing empowering music. But you'll see my advisor treats me as a blessing. 92% for this advisor either agree or strongly agree, and didn't have anyone that disagreed or strongly agreed. And then we found the activity. We were even able to find the activity that they do routinely that in that teacher's class that students appreciate the most. And it's Friday game days. They just want to play together. They want to play together. They appreciate him. But this gives us something to be able to go to Mr. Scott and tell us, what does Friday game days actually mean? Because that can mean 25 different things to the 25 different people on this call. So we've been able to lean into each other as the experts. We had identity and culture questions in there in terms of I feel seen, valued, and respected. And we see some that we have to continue our work in confronting anti-Blackness, even at our own site. Because when we look at this for only our Black and African-American students, there's still 11% of them that strongly disagree and another 11 that disagree that we're addressing students when they're using dehumanizing language, which means 1 in 5 Black students doesn't think we're addressing that. So this gives us immediate feedback to ensure that as advisors and as a school, we're responding to it and we're not leaning only on our Black staff to do this work or not only waiting for Dr. Kendris Watson to have time to make it out with us. It drives that urgency from our students themselves. When it comes to caring teacher relationships, one thing that I wanna point out here is that the top on the far right is strongly disagree, and then you see disagree. It's very few students school-wide, but when we, that strongly disagree with any of these metrics related to relationships. When we look at only our Black or African-American students, not a single Black or African-American student strongly disagreed. On any of these. And so we can see that what we're seeing as a trend is folks believe the teachers care about them, but there's still more work that we can do. And the last big metric that I want to focus on is school connectedness. School connectedness, I'm not going to read all of this, but you can see the measures at the bottom of the screen. The study after study shows students that feel connected to school are more likely to have all of these positive outcomes. School connectedness and measuring it in self-reported surveys like the Children's Healthy Kids Survey on an annual basis is the closest empirical evidence you have to connect school culture, connectivity, and empirical outcomes of student achievement. Students that are connected tend to achieve more. It's not a full guarantee, but it's not a guarantee that every student that achieves high feels connected, but there's a much higher likelihood that if a student feels connected, they're going to achieve more. And so what we saw prior to the pandemic, as we looked at historical data for ECMS Gardena, is that We were at about 50% of school population school-wide, grade 6 through 8, feeling connected. But when you followed a cohort, we saw this trend of it peaked in 6th grade. They came in enthusiastic and it dropped over time. When the pandemic hit in 2020, we did this survey again in distance learning, and the numbers were high. They were like really high, and we didn't trust them because we said, this is weird. We did it again last year, and again, it was high. But like, as I think I was telling Farnaz earlier this week, it's hard to trust data like that because it's a smaller set. The students that didn't show up to school last year online didn't take that survey. So I was really curious to see what it looks like this year. And this school connectedness is an aggregate of the average of these 5 indicators. I'm happy to be at this school. I feel connected to people at the school. I feel like I'm a part of this school. I feel safe in my school. And the teachers treat students fairly at this school. And ECMS Gardena in October is at 72% school-wide, which is pretty remarkable for October. And when we look at this, we see the historical data, and now we plug it in here, and we can see that we are 22% higher as a school. What I'm really proud of, though, is the 8th graders, because even if it's 66 is a relatively our lowest, it's more than double of what it was in 2019. So we still have some work to do, but we're making significant gains. And it was a nice shot in the arm for our families. And our teachers needed this. And I think the next step that our teachers are doing is they're sharing the individual advisory data with students so they know their voice matters. And as shifts are made, they're aware that they're made in response to their feedback on this survey. And we're curious to see what impact that'll have on their entries and their feedback in the next survey. So that's all I have. Thank you, Farnaz.
Thank you, Dave. I want to open up for comments, feedback, questions from any of the board members or anybody who's here tonight, from either the principals or from anyone on operations, anything related to the operations work that we've been doing. I want to give you a heads up that we're going to not do the closed session today, given the fact that our presentations are going longer, so that we have more time for this and for the presentation from Caesar. So with that, I just want to open up for questions. And Dave, that was amazing, as Allison and Julie said, truly awe-inspiring. So any questions anyone has or feedback? I see a heart from Denise. Thank you. Anything you're curious to know more about or want to ask probing questions on? Yeah, I see in the chat a lot of appreciation. I just want to echo all of that. You guys are awe-inspiring, and the fact that we're seeing data like this has been amazing in these last 2 years, and that it repeated this year. I did think it was some kind of weird anomaly last year with distance learning that it happened, but the fact that it repeated at all sites, again, connectivity is really high, is really a testament to all the hard work that you're doing. So thank you.
Farnaz, I had a question. Do we share this information with our families about this connectedness, how the kids are feeling? Do we share that?
We did just recently get the survey data back. So I don't know if either of you guys have shared it yet. Yes. Do you want to?
We have a town hall coming up this Wednesday, and so we plan to share this data with parents as a way to get them to start talking, because sometimes they just like to listen, but also to get them engaged that there's some good stuff going on, but we also still need their help on the other side of things. And we also sometimes share it in our parent newsletter.
Similar over here as what Dr. Matthews said, I think we've been so deep in all sorts of things that we've wanted to package this information in a way that's digestible, not just sent out and like check off that box. because while we have higher levels of connectivity, we also have discipline issues that have increased. So that by itself hasn't solved it. So we want to be able to communicate both of those things and start those conversations so that we're not trying to do this work that's worth doing, but feels impossible sometimes by ourselves.
Thank you so much. No questions, we'll go ahead and jump into Caesar's presentation on social work. And Caesar, you want me to share screen, right?
Yes, please. Thank you for us. All right, everybody, thank you guys for being here. I'm going to go over a few of the social work roles and tasks that we have at ECS. I've been with the organization for roughly 7-8 years. I lose track of time. I'm not sure if to count the pandemic year or not. I'm still debating. But overall, I've been able to go through a bunch of different roles at ECS and identify what are the needs and supports where I would love to implement some social work roles and tasks. It counts as 4, Mr. Ho. As far as social work roles, sometimes as a social worker or as an org, if we've never had a social worker on campus, we might want to, we want to know what a social worker's purpose is. It's traditionally been or known to the community at times they take away kids. That's not our focus. What we plan on doing is doing therapy and brief treatment for the families. Attendance, providing that support for attendance where we are working with different tiers and providing that intensive support that at the opener, some of us had mentioned that not everything is a structure. Some of the stuff is a case-by-case basis and we want to take a deep dive into it. Case management and creating some interventions related to it. Crisis response, which would be responding to threat assessments, responding to suicide assessments, and having that person that is trained and ready whenever that happens. Homeless and foster liaison, finding resources and an independent study, transition person. Tasks that have been falling off or just I do want to highlight the most that I want to support are the homeless and foster liaison and the independent study program transition, simply because we've already taken a dive into this. Within the homeless liaison, we have had challenges in the past as far as the quality and supports that we provide into that. Now we will have a person to take a dive into it, meet with the families like some of you guys have mentioned in the opener, and just support them and finding resources in our local community to be able to support with that. With the independent study transitions, we've noticed a high anxiety for returning back to campus or just supporting with the transition and socializing if they are not on campus. Some of our social workers have already been having social skills group with the students that are not part of being part of this transition being back on campus. Could we go to the next slide? Thank you, Farnaz. As far as brief treatment and what that is, it's at a minimum of 6 to 8 sessions with the opportunity to increase some more sessions depending on the need. Each session should be roughly about 45 to 60 minutes long. Our intakes are pretty in-depth. They could be anywhere from 90 minutes. Sometimes we've recently had one about 3 hours long and the parents involved because we want to identify what are the traumas, what are the challenges, what are things going on at home, in the community, or just in the past that we are not aware of at this time. As well as once we identify those challenges, be able to develop some of those treatment goals, provide that intervention, or identify what resources we already have here on campus, on our agencies, to be able to provide that extra support. And at the end, be able to terminate whether we identify and increase these services or link them with additional services to make sure that we ensure the family feels best supported. In regards to attendance, things that we've already noticed and been able to tackle is the change in the structures with attendance within the cross campuses. So we are gonna try to do some cross-pollination and be able to identify the best interventions across our 4 campuses and kind of just steal those and use those across the campuses. Tier 1 interventions that we want to do are similar to what Mr. Trejo mentioned earlier related to the ice cream. and the ice cream being part of being able to increase the interventions for them to be part of just being on campus, competitions across them, whether they are door competitions, attendance competitions, and then in tier two would identify counselors support to be able to screen, meet together, identify some trends and attendance. And lastly, would be tier three, which would identify the social workers and be able to support with the home visits, finding resources, and case management. Sorry about that. We've already been able to dive into some of these. Some of the things that we've identified already in attendance are a combination of, there's a lot of trauma and some of our students that have not been coming on campus. They have reasons to not be on campus, whether it is something that happened to them during the pandemic, a loss of a family member, just being anxious to come to campus. We've identified many challenges and been able to provide some of that support and connect them with the resources or provide some of that support ourselves as the social workers on campus. Thank you, Furnas. Can you go back one more, Furnas, the case management? Perfect. The case management piece is going to go hand in hand with the challenges that we are noticing with the increase of behavior challenges, right? So we do want to do outpatient referrals for the agencies we already have support and MOUs with, increase those resources as well, and increase the partnerships that we have with nearby agencies. Doing check-ins with these students that we are case managing, some of the things that ends up happening often is in the counseling world, I identify a challenge with the student, they need therapy, I will refer them out. I don't touch bases thinking everything ended up happening and they are receiving services. 3 weeks in, I identify that the family never got those services. They just, there was never no follow through. So doing this check-in and partnering with those agencies to be able to let them know these are current challenges, students doing well, or do you mind coming on campus and providing that extra support? In regards to behavior intervention, at some of our schools, we've already been able to kind of partner our social worker along with our discipline department to identify what interventions do we need to provide support in to change some of these behaviors. Most recently, we've had a student that was able to benefit from having a social worker. They were continuously getting in trouble for very small things, which involved just feeling right and feeling like the advocate of small things, creating some challenges. We've identified during the intake, this is a something that happened at a young age that now this student feels that he must be the advocate for it. But some of these things were causing him to have some problems because he felt like the adult in the classroom and would often get in disagreements and led into discipline challenges. Let's go to the next slide, Ms. Furnas. Thank you. These are some of the partnerships that we already have, and we're hoping to increase a lot of these, the Gang Youth Reduction Program. It's great to identify and assess what the school needs are and be able to partner with the agencies that are nearby, but also provide the services that we currently need. We're currently partnered with GRID. We just and are in the middle of getting an MOU with ADEP, which is a drug prevention program. There's been an increase in challenges, like I've mentioned, and behavioral problems. Masada Homes and providing that therapy agency along with Tessie Cleveland and Richstone Families. One thing that we want to do as an organization is provide that access to the families where they don't have to drive. Not everybody has a car. They don't have to get pulled out of school and now they miss half the day. Now, when we partner with these agencies, they're able to come on campus, see the student and have their session on campus. And we're able to work with them and let them know what's going on. They provide some type of professional development for our staff as well when working with their specific student. So we want to continue to create partnerships along with the agencies and just be able to increase those to make sure we are sustainable. Suicide assessments, I wanted to highlight this just because we do have data on this already. And in the last few weeks, there's been an increase in mental health supports needed. We have developed a crisis response team, being able to do assessments, create safety plans for families and provide that support, whether it is doing outpatient referrals, hospitalizing the students to ensure they are safe and they are not going to harm themselves, case manage them to ensure they have the proper supports with the agencies for mental health, but also collaborate with the teachers and letting them know these are the triggers. These words here are something that's going to make your student feel like they want to harm themselves. Look out for warning signs of isolation, covering themselves. And these are all individual cases that we provide that support and that safety plan. Up to this date, we've noticed that, we have done 15 suicide assessments. We've been able to connect 25 families with mental health resources in the community and been able to just support our families in general. This here is the assessments that we have done right now across our four campuses. I do want to acknowledge and point out that ECMS Gardena does have the highest assessment rates at this time. This could be for several reasons. Some of the reasons that we found out to this time is like our community at ECMS Gardena, many of our students have experienced some type of trauma. Many of our students are often in fight or flight mode. Many of our students step outside of their home and have experienced some traumatic events that have caused them to feel like they don't belong and they don't have a purpose. One thing that has helped along with identifying these assessments and being able to provide these supports are one, having the social worker already there. But in addition to that, we do have social work interns at ECMS Gardena more than the rest of the campuses at this time. And they've been able to screen some of these students, been able to chat with some of these students that might have fallen off the plate at other times. So I did want to acknowledge that. Let's go to the next slide. The overall three-year vision that we have for the social work program is develop some of these structures, develop some of these roles, connect the partnerships that we have and just better support them. Develop a social work intern program where we're able to have multiple social workers on sites, not just one. I'm thinking at a minimum of three social workers on site, and these will be interns, which would be free of cost to ECS. We would train them to be social workers, but now we have three social workers and can have three sessions going on at the same hour. And then lastly, being able to assess, make some changes, and make sure we are sustainable as an org and make sure we implement this across the organizations. Thank you very much. I do want to end here with some questions. I'm hoping that I do have some questions, whether it's the structure, some tips that you guys may have. And if you have my contact information and you want to hop on a Zoom meeting, I'd be more than glad to chat with you about anything else that I don't answer here. Thanks, Mr. Chirha. I am reading the chat box and keep them coming. Any questions, comments, concerns regarding the social work program?
I just want to like reiterate that like we have no joy in losing Caesar on a day-to-day basis to the home office and the org and the other sites, like, but knowing and seeing firsthand what he's doing on a daily basis and how quickly he's able to build up others to do what he does. So he's the closest I've seen to be able to clone himself through other people. And so to know that that's going to increase at other school sites, like I'm beyond grateful, and we're incredibly lucky to have him, and we're incredibly lucky that he's staying with the org. And so I just want to express that. And we finally found a counselor that we think can one day fill his shoes, and they accepted our offer this morning. So we're pretty excited about that.
When you think about the vision that you guys had and the ideas that you had, and I think Travis, you guys have had a social work program for many years, and Caesar's already started meeting with your lead of social workers at your team for mentorship, but what is anything that you dreamt about missing in his presentation? Is there something more that you would want to see us doing? What questions do you guys have or ideas do you have? There are days when we are quieter than others. I get that. I just want to appreciate you all for being here again. I have the honor of getting to support Caesar in this role, and he actually reports to me in this role, and it's been a true joy to watch him visioning and supporting the social workers and thinking this through while continuing to support Dave as the main counselor right now at Gardena. So I want to appreciate you, Caesar, for being here and sharing your vision with us, but more importantly, to thank you for what you're bringing for our students. Thank you. So with that, I think, with that, I think we're good to go back to the agenda, and I will share my screen again. So we're on E, Anthony.
Are we on E or are we one above? Did we D?
Oh, sorry, D. I apologize.
So I think Tracy is going to be doing this part, correct, as well, because Dorothy won't be with us today.
Tracy, do you want me to share? I apologize.
Sure, that would be great. How quickly? Are we behind or?
I think we should go pretty quickly.
Okay. And I mean, there's nothing as exciting with the finances as there is with that other stuff. So, which is a good thing. But I'll go very quickly. So on slide two, you see the operating incomes, we've slightly adjusted them for our September forecast based on actuals, primarily of personnel. So the middle schools, we adjusted up some expenditures. A lot of it has to do with CMO shared personnel and some other personnel on their site. The two high schools happen to have some offsetting items, so they don't really have much of a change to their forecast. If you go to the ADA, we're really tracking the ADA closely. All of our three existing sites are a little bit low in their ADA, but we're not adjusting down our forecast yet because there are some changes basically in how attendance is working. So part of it has to do with independent study rules, and then the other part of it has to do with the quarantining guidelines. So we're now able to keep most students on campus, even if they've been exposed, if they're masked and don't have symptoms. So we're expecting an uptick in out months, but we are watching it very closely. So you'll see all three of our existing sites, the ADA is low. But in wonderful news, ECHSG, our brand new site, is exceeding its budget expectations for ADA, which is really amazing. I want to recognize Dr. Guardado and her team, because for a brand new school to be hitting out of the park like that is really pretty awesome. And then the cash outlook is very good. We just got a big apportionment in for ECHSG. So we were kind of watching their cash really closely for a while there, but with that uptick in their advance apportionment, and they're also going to be getting their revolving loan in soon. So their cash is looking very strong now. And our other four sites are well established with their cash balances, which is very nice. And then on that last side, like I said, our one area that we're really closely watching is that ADA. We have several grants that are in the state budget this year that we don't actually have in there yet. You'll see after this, I'm presenting the educator effectiveness grant proposals, and we're planning on pushing those out to next year and the following years. Same thing with that A through G grant. There's no proposal I'm going over this time, but we're expecting to spend the high school's A through G grant in out years as well. So it's a nice position to be in that we have enough funding in this year that we can push those things out and make good plans for future years. And then the Expanding Learning Opportunities program is for the two middle schools. We do have money in our budget right now for that, but we got the actual allocations and they're much higher than what we have in our budget. So we're working on planning out how we're going to spend that. So all good news and nice and easy presentation for me.
Any questions for Tracy on the budget?
Excellent. And then the other item on there is the Educator Effectiveness Funds Plan update. So this is a one-time funding bucket that's in the 21-22 fiscal year budget. And we are supposed to present out a plan at this meeting for you to review and think about. And then we will put it before the board for approval at the subsequent meeting in November. So they're all very similar. And the basic background of it is we plan to spend this to fund our, I'm not sure Charity's exact title, but I believe it's director
math of specialist. Math specialist.
Math specialist. All right. So
very math specialist. Yeah.
The plan is to fund her position with this for the next 3 years. So this funding is meant to be for professional development of our, you know, ideally primarily our staff, our teaching staff. And that is exactly what Charity does, working with them to help develop their instructional programs and instructional practice. So that is what we were recommending to spend it in the subsequent several years. So starting next year through 2026. And since all three sites share her, it's the same for all three sites. So again, we'll be presenting that for approval at the next board meeting. So plenty of time to think about it if you have any questions or concerns.
Excellent. So since this is an FYI, we welcome you to look at this and bring questions to the next meeting, unless you have them now. And if not, we can move forward to the consent agenda.
Okay. Pranaz, do you want me to discuss this as normal, or Jeremiah's name is there? So I just want to make sure.
No, it's for you to discuss as normal. Yep. Jeremiah would be able to talk about the minutes, or those items are the ones that he could answer questions about.
Okay. So as a normal protocol, we will approve, assuming we want to approve all consent items at once. So as normal protocol, we'll ask for a motion to approve in a second, and then we'll open it up for discussion and then move to vote. So do I have a motion to approve consent items A through I?
I was on mute. I move to approve consent items A through I.
Do I have a second? Thank you, Ken.
A second.
And that was Madhu. Thank you, Madhu. Yeah. Just want to make sure it's recorded. Okay, so anything Jeremiah or anyone wants to discuss regarding those nine?
I'm going to take 1 minute to just celebrate a few things. One of them is a partnership with Varsity Tutors to deliver tutoring directly to our students. This is a new partnership. A lot of districts have been working with them and have raved about them. So I'm excited about this contract that you're reviewing and approving. It could be either individualized one-on-one, or it could be in small group. We have a lot of plans. Charity has been leading a lot of good conversations with them. So that's very exciting. And I also wanted to call to your attention these governance reviews from LACO. I think that both the board and ECMS Inglewood and ECMS Gardena should be incredibly proud. The reviews from LACO this last year from Dr. Delia were amazing and really positive. And I just want to appreciate all the hard work that went into this process, both from Jeremiah. The principals did phenomenal presentations. It was just better than any year that I had experienced up to now. And we're also very excited. We're going to be working with a new person. We're sad to see Delia, but she stepped up into the role of COVID testing leader for LACO. But we're excited about our new partner at LACO as well, Duncan McDonough, who's listening now. So with that, that's all I wanted to share.
Thank you, Fernanda. That's great. Anyone have any other questions, comments, concerns before we move to vote on the consent items? Okay. Ken.
Aye.
Madhu.
Aye.
Zena.
Aye.
Travis.
Aye.
Denise.
Aye.
And Anthony. Aye. Consent items A through I have been approved. Moving on to the action items. We have one action item, which is approve ESSER 3 expenditures plans, So before we get into questions, comments, concerns, and discussions, do I have a motion to approve the action item A?
This is Travis. I move to approve action item A.
Thank you, Travis. Do I have a second?
I second. It's Denise.
Thank you, Denise. Okay, so I'll open up to Tracy and Farnaz to provide some insight, discussion, and then any questions, concerns, comments.
I'll just share that we're incredibly grateful for the federal government and for the state government for the additional funding that's allowing us to expand our services and to have social workers and to increase leadership supports at this time. This is one of those funding streams. There's ESSER 1, ESSER 2, this is ESSER 3. There's also GESSER, which is from GEAR, which is from the governor's office. So this is all of this funding. Tracy and I have created a five-year plan that we're working on to ensure that we can sustainably manage these programs long-term and that we would have a gradual, some of the projects could gradually fade away as they become less necessary because of learning loss issues or shifts associated with the pandemic. So that this is one of those proposals that has to come to you. Actually, it needs to be approved tonight so before it can go to them tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow is the last day. Can you open it up? Because I did actually have a question. By the way, a lot of funding. It's pretty amazing. At least maybe not the summary, but actually the plan. You can open up both, but I had a question regarding the plan itself. Again, it's just a tremendous amount of funding. If you just stop there for a moment and forgive me if I don't understand all of this. But on that, the third part, the use of any remaining funds, there's nothing specified there. Is it required to specify what each of the schools are utilizing those funds for?
So further down in the plan, it talks about each of these buckets and gives more details what they are for.
I looked at it. I guess I didn't see that specifically, but if it's in there, forgive me.
But it's basically to fund. I mentioned that we have a new accounting assistant that we basically hired to help us manage all of this. So it is funding that accounting assistant position to help us manage all of the purchasing and reporting related to all of the funding.
Okay. Thank you. To me, it seems like an amazing amount of funds and awesome work. Is it a surprising? Should I be that surprised? Should we be that happy and impressed?
Yeah, I'm tremendously grateful. It's really important to recognize that it's as schools that receive more local control funding formula funding, we do receive more of the ESSER funds. So it's associated with the allocations of LCFF. So other school districts won't get as much as we're getting in this funding stream. And really so much that we're doing is made possible by this. And it, what's going to be interesting is what happens in 5 years as these funding sources fade away. And whether or not the state government comes back with additional funding, or do some of these programs need to fade away over time?
Well, it's great we have it now and can utilize it now, no matter what.
100%.
Any questions, concerns, comments regarding the summary or the plans? Okay, then Ken.
Ken, aye.
Thank you, Ken. Madhu.
Aye.
Zena.
Aye.
Travis.
Aye.
Denise.
Aye.
And Anthony, aye. Action item A has been approved. So now you can submit tomorrow. Fantastic.
Thank you. We didn't want to have a special board meeting to do it sooner. So thank you. The timing worked out just right. We do have another board meeting that's going to be virtual or in person if you want to come. Nobody took us up on the offer this time, but it's on December 9th is our next board meeting. We have committee meetings between now and then. And I just want to appreciate you all for being here and open up for appreciations of any of our speakers today or board members from our team.
I'll just say PG-13, you guys kick butt. I mean, every time I'm on one of these calls, it's amazing how strong the team is and the results and the commitment and the passion. It just has to continue to be repeated because you guys rock.
I'm going to appreciate Jen Fenton coming on board and just like doing everything from talking kids through what it means to be a presumptive positive close contact to talking to parents to making phone calls on weekends and at night. Like there's a lot, there's not a job she's too humble not to do. And I can't imagine where we would be as an org, as a school, if she wasn't on board, because she's on board. And the rest of us are all still just as busy, even with everything she's doing. And so I just really appreciate it.
It's really hard to identify any single person to appreciate at this time, but I do want to say every once in a while you hire someone and they take a huge weight off your shoulders, and I can't tell you how much of a weight you've lifted off our shoulders, Jen, off of so many people in this organization. So thank you for coming, and thank you for being such a doer, and you know, just not, you don't talk as much, you just get it done. So thank you for doing that. And I think, Jeremiah, you're frequently in the background of everything. That's why I wanted to highlight operations today. I really wanted everyone to sort of be conscious of what this amazing team of people are holding. But Jeremiah, you are this silent, humble, amazingly capable human being who consistently steps up whenever anyone needs you. And I'm consistently in awe of you, and I couldn't do this job if you weren't here. So I just want to, you know, thoroughly thank you for that. And also I just want to express my awe and love and appreciation for our principals and Danielle for her support of them. This is the hardest year. The number of principals who have left their jobs, the number of superintendents who have left their jobs, I think it's the hardest year for anyone in service, truthfully. But you guys keep overwhelming us with inspirational work. And like, I hope that you can soak in what you shared tonight, Dave. I know Geneva has walked away because she had to, but like, I hope you can soak in what you shared tonight, because that's truly the only thing that matters. Like, really, what you shared tonight is awe-inspiring. So
thank you.
Okay. I think we are over time. I appreciate you all for being here, and we'll do the closed session another time.
We're going to commit to doing it next board meeting.
Yeah.
We'll get done next board meeting. Okay. So you requested it to be closed earlier today, so I'm honoring your request.
I just want to recognize everyone's time, and we committed to a certain time. So yeah,
100%. So okay. With that, if I can get a motion to adjourn.
This is Travis. I'll motion to adjourn.
Okay. And who was the second one?
Zena.
Zena. Thank you, Zena. Okay. Ken.
Hi.
You.
Hi.
Zena.
Hi.
Travis.
Aye.
Denise.
Aye.
Anthony. Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for your participation and insights. It's great to see everyone. Have a happy, safe, healthy rest of your week.
Hey, great work, everyone. Happy holidays and happy new year, because I want
happy to see holidays. You too. Happy Thanksgiving. We won't see you, Travis. Happy holidays to you too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving for those we won't see. Denise, if you want to stay on, I'll answer your call. Oh, she left. Okay. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Caesar, for being there. Great job. Thank you.